Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading for the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, September 30th. Church leaders recognize health workers. New initiative seeks to show love for the healthcare community. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Midland pastors announced Wednesday that they are calling on churches to make October a time to recognize and appreciate the community's healthcare workers. The initiative is called Midland Loves Our Healthcare Community. Churches from all over the city and various denominations are voicing their appreciation for, quote, our incredible healthcare community, unquote, according to a press release. They are doing this through recognition and prayer in services, along with other forms of appreciation and service throughout the month of October. Quote, this is something we need at this time, said John Gerlach, senior pastor at Crestview Baptist Church. Crestview is one of 27 listed as participants. Quote, our community does a great job when we pull together. This is the heart of Midland. I have seen it so many times. End quote. Pastors that talked with the Reporter Telegram on Wednesday said the community has been through a tremendous debate and that everybody has had an opinion during the COVID-19 pandemic. But now is the time to pull everyone together and focus on those in healthcare's front lines. Those efforts will include offering thank you notes, buying food, adopting a floor to help. Quote, we are wanting to do something positive and affirmative, said Steve Shore, pastor at First Presbyterian Church. Shore said he and others have been talking about what it would be like in a world without healthcare professionals. He also said it is tough to hear the stories of what they are going through at Midland Memorial Hospital, including the pressure and overwhelming feeling created by the pandemic. The list of churches includes Calvary Assembly of God, Christ Church Midland, Common Unity Church, Community Worship Center, Crestview, Elevate Church, Fellowship Community Church, First Assembly of God, First Baptist Church, First Presbyterian, First United Methodist Church, Golf Course Road Church of Christ, Goodwill Church, Harvest Time Church, La Roca Church, Living Way Four Square Church, Mid-Cities, Midland Bible Church, RCCG Abode of Testimonies, Real Church, Redeemer, Renew Life, St. Anne's Catholic Church, Stonegate, The Gathering, True Light Church, Watch and Pray Ministries. Quote, imagine our city rallying around and lifting up the people who are there for us when we need it most, the news release stated. Our goal is to see this city return the love that our healthcare community has so generously given to us. End quote. What others had to say. Quote, as a pastor, I am excited to be partnering with 26 other local churches and pastors here in Midland as we recognize and appreciate all the hard work our healthcare community has put in. Many of us will never understand these selfless hours, blood, sweat, and tears our healthcare workers have put in, particularly in the wake of the COVID-19 response. The resiliency and tenacity it takes to wake up every day and face this common giant in COVID-19 are worth appreciating. I still believe that giants do die, and it will take people who have a heart for God and who are willing to fight this raging giant. I also would like to publicly recognize Nurse Asia Johnson and healthcare worker Becky Norris, who are both members of our church, and thank them and their families for their efforts in fighting this virus. as a way to love on all healthcare workers, and specifically those in our community, Community Worship Center will be hosting an outside night of worship at Ranchland Apartments at 7 p.m. on October 23rd. During this time, we will hold a corporate prayer for all healthcare workers. There is something about the power that happens when believers unite in prayer. Matthew 18:19 says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Again, I, the Community Worship Center family, and the other 26 partnering churches notice and appreciate all of our healthcare workers. We will never cease praying for each of you and your families. Signed, Pastor Ed Mayberry of Community Worship Center. Quote, "Over the course of the last 2 years, we've watched as COVID has ransacked our community. Nothing is the same as it was. There are many who have served bravely in this season, but none more so than our healthcare workers. They have stepped bravely forward time and again to meet the need. Sadly, what's been disturbing over this year is to watch them be abused, accused of malpractice, even outright lies about COVID, the vaccine, and the severity of the cases. I understand the skepticism people have over such a politically charged topic, but to take it out on our healthcare community is absurd. Imagine if they all decided to walk off the job in protest of these terrible accusations. Where would we be then? That's what gave rise to the movement. Midland loves the healthcare community. A group of pastors got together and began to imagine what we could do to offer a word of thanks to our healthcare workers. While our ideas aren't necessarily novel or fresh, they are heartfelt and passionate. Our desire is to have our healthcare workers know of our deep appreciation for their work and their faithfulness in one of the darkest hours our nation has known. Let those who have served well be granted honor. To all of you who kept so many of us well through such difficult days, we say thank you." End quote. Signed, Pastor Darren Wood, First Baptist Church. UTPB, MMH, Combat Nursing Shortage. Partnership allows nursing students to work on floor. The University of Texas Permian Basin School of Nursing has entered into a practice academic partnership with Midland Health, according to a press release from UT Permian Basin. This collaboration comes at a time when local hospitals are experiencing a critical shortage of nurses, the school noted. The partnership also allows fourth semester nursing students who are currently in the MMH Nursing Intern Program to work on the floor alongside nurses during their precepted clinical hours, which are required to graduate. Quote, "This will provide relief to current nurses who are dealing with significant staffing challenges due to COVID-19 and allows UTPB nursing students to gain more confidence with additional hands-on learning," the news release stated. "The nursing students will also be compensated for their work." End quote. Midland Memorial Hospital Chief Nursing Officer Kit Predimus stated in the press release that, quote, "This new partnership is a great step in improving nursing care in the Permian Basin. Students benefit with more hands-on learning with patients, and nurses benefit by having additional support at the bedside. It's a true win-win scenario." End quote. The practice academic partnership with Midland Health came to fruition after the National Council of State Boards of Nursing recommended that nursing education programs and healthcare facilities collaborate in a clinical agreement due to the pandemic. UTPB nursing students who are already in the Midland Memorial Hospital Nursing Intern Program were chosen as the pilot group for this partnership. Quote, "These students have already committed to being nurses at Midland Health after they graduate, the news release stated, but now they will have more confidence once they become registered nurses and begin working on their own full-time, end quote. The pilot program will run through spring 2022, which is the expiration date enacted by NCSBN. The UT Permian Basin School of Nursing, along with Midland Health, will look to extend if allowed. Quote, this opportunity will not only provide much-needed clinical education to assist in meeting program requirements, it is an unparalleled opportunity for our nursing students to assist the community in a time of crisis and learn the principles of population health and emergency management, said Dr. Donna Buch, Dean of the College of Health Science and Human Performance. Harvest Neighborhood Kitchen focuses on health. The story was written by J.C. Lewis. Harvest Neighborhood Kitchen might be one of Midland's best-kept secrets. The restaurant is attached to the gym Talos Health and Conditioning at 4400 North Big Spring Street. When the restaurant opened in May, it didn't have any social media accounts, but word of mouth still had people coming through the doors. Owner Orlando Castillo opened Talos Health and Conditioning 11 years ago. He wanted to add a restaurant to provide a full-cycle service to clients. Quote, it's every fitness person's dream to provide a full circle of service to customers, he said. We want to have the fitness side and the food side for the whole wellness, holistic type of business, end quote. Harvest Neighborhood Kitchen focuses on healthy wraps, bowls, cauliflower crust pizzas, smoothie bowls, burgers, smoothies, and salads. The restaurant also serves coffee and workout recovery drinks. Quote, pizzas weren't even on our radar, but we thought we would add a carb option with a cauliflower pizza, he said. Some people have said the pizza is the best in town, end quote. The restaurant has also started serving brunch on Saturdays. The brunch menu also offers something for families. The restaurant has started serving waffle platters with fruits, sausage, bacon, eggs, and waffles. Harvest Neighborhood Kitchen will also have a wine and beer beverage permit soon to serve mimosas at lunch. Castillo added that they also offer healthy Mexican food options like quesadillas and street tacos. The restaurant offers Wagyu steak in the Harvest Steak quesadilla and steak street tacos, which also feature black beans, corn, cheddar cheese, and sides of salsa and guacamole. Quote, being the Harvest Neighborhood Kitchen, we wanted people to connect with it as their kitchen, he said. People can ask for specialized kitchens. We just have to try it out first, end quote. The restaurant regularly asks patrons on the restaurant's Instagram page what patrons would like to see Harvest Neighborhood Kitchen add to the menu. The staff also has a big part to play in what goes on the menu. One employee has a love for baking, and that is translated to the restaurant offering healthy sweets and pastries. The restaurant has paleo lemon blueberry bars and sweet potato chocolate chip cookies on Wednesday. Hours of operation are 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Wednesday and 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Saturday. Castillo said eventually he wants to be open for evening hours once he finds enough staff. The Bites. Eccentric Brewing Company is releasing a limited-time Texas-grown and made beer. The Lone Star Estate will be available at the brewery's taproom at 1402 Cotton Plant Road on Saturday from 1 to 9 p.m. until supplies last. La Mission Restaurant's 1008 South Big Spring Street location is closed. The restaurant will open at 119 Tradewinds Boulevard. Low Street Books has started a happy hour 2 to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. Select drinks and bites are $5. Fatbird's Wing Bar is now open for lunch, starting at 11 a.m. Hours are Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., at 3209 Courtyard Drive, Suite L. Sewell Family of Companies is hosting Dine and Donate Week at Press Cafe for Pink the Basin. During October 18th through 23rd, 100% of all sales will be donated to Pink the Basin.
Hello, this is Cindy, continuing to read from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday. New road and bridge projects approved. The Permian Basin Metropolitan Planning Organization, MPO, Policy Board voted unanimously earlier this month to amend the agency's Transportation Improvement Program for short-range infrastructure projects to add priority road and bridge projects in a four-year window. The board also voted unanimously to update the project list covering a 10-year period from 2021 to 2030. Highlights of the short-range projects include widening of the I-20 corridor to 6 lanes, including new and reconstructed ramps and conversion to one-way frontage roads at numerous locations for approximately 15 miles from JBS Parkway to east of Rankin Highway, State Highway 349. Total short-term investment in the transportation system using federal, state, and local funds is $516.613 million. The longer-range projects also include safety improvements on Farm to Market Road 1882, West County Road, and SH-191 42nd Street, intersection improvements on SH-158 at Wadley Avenue and at Briarwood Avenue in Midland, a new interchange at 5256th Streets at Loop 338 East, and a rail crossing realignment at County Road 1250. The investment in years 6 through 10 is estimated to cost $349.18 million. The entire list is available on the MPO's website at www.permianbasinmpo.com. MISD to accept Carver nominations starting Friday. Parents of current kindergartners can nominate their student for enrollment at Carver Center beginning Friday. Carver Center is a first through sixth grade campus that is the signature program for elementary, gifted, and talented students at Midland ISD. This application process is required for students wishing to attend Carver Center. Midland ISD is hosting 3 upcoming sessions for parents to learn more about the nomination process and Carver Center. Each event begins at 6 p.m. at Carver Center, located at 1300 East Wall Street. Those dates are October 5th, 14th, and 20th. All kindergarten students participate in GT testing, but nominations are still required to determine the student's acceptance into the program. The nomination period is for current kindergartners only. Nominations for older students wishing to attend Carver or participate in other GT programming will come later. For additional information or to nominate a student, parents should visit midlandisd.net/advanced academics. The nomination form will be available on this site beginning Friday. New Park Planned for Downtown Odessa by Caitlin Randall. Odessa College is planning to develop a multi-use area in downtown Odessa with the help of a land donation from the City Council. City Council members voted unanimously Tuesday night to donate a plot of land downtown to Odessa College. The land is the former site of the Odessa American Building that was previously purchased by the City of Odessa. The first phase of the project will include construction of community gathering spaces, a green space, a community garden, food truck parking, an outdoor performance stage, splash pads, and a pet area, according to city planning documents. "We're proud to partner with you," OC President Gregory Williams told the council. The project, benefits our community. It certainly benefits our citizens." Williams said the first phase of the project is estimated to cost $1.5 million. Construction will begin after funding is acquired. A second phase will include a multi-story building for office spaces. Williams told the council the building will also be used to provide resources to community members interested in starting a business downtown.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, September 30th, 2021. Local. Community Roundup. Register to vote. The Midland County Elections Office reports that a person must be registered to vote 30 days before an election to vote. That means the deadline for Midland County residents to register to vote in the November elections is Monday, October 4th. Go to co.midland.tx.us/369/register-2-vote for more information. Life Chain. Pro-Life Midland will take part in the Life Chain from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Sunday near the intersection of Illinois and Andrews Highway. This is an international hour of prayer for our nation and a peaceful, prayerful public witness on behalf of the unborn at risk of abortion, according to a press release from Pro-Life Midland. Life Chain participants will stand and pray on sidewalks of major roadways in about 2,000 cities across the USA and Canada. Holding professionally printed signs. Call 686-7709 for more information or for general information on Life Chain. See lifechain.net. Car Bike Show. The Jasmine M. Melendez Memorial Car Bike Show will take place Saturday at 498 Mann Street. The event takes place from noon to 5, and there is a $20 entry fee. Contact EJ at 432-254-5257 or Nikki at 432-818-3760 for more information. Events and activities. Wine, Women and Shoes, presented by Vicky and S. Javed Anwar and Midland Energy Incorporated, Thursday at the Horseshoe Pavilion. Tickets are available at https://www.winewomenandshoes.com/event/Midland/. Semi-annual sidewalk sale, 10 a.m. Saturday at 2032 West Cuthbert. Jasmine M. Melendez Memorial Car and Bike Show, noon to 5 p.m. at 498 Mann Street. Vans of America West Texas Regional Championship, October 2nd at Grande Communications Stadium. Boundless, Art and the Expansive Eye, opening reception, 5 to 9 p.m. October 12th, on view until December at Baker Shore Fine Art. Nature Preserve Outdoor Pop-Up with the Little Gym of Midland, 9 a.m. October 16th at the I-20 Wildlife Preserve. Healthy Kids Running Series, a 5-week in-person fall running series, features once-a-week racing, 4 p.m. October 24th at Hogan Park, 1201 East Wadley. Registration is now open at healthykidsrunningseries.org. 6th Annual Power of the Purse, 6 p.m. October 28th at Bush Convention Center. Nonprofits. Fertile Valley, the Taos Society of Artists and Their Influence through Sunday at the Museum of the Southwest. Katie Murata, The Long Horizon, through Sunday at the Museum of the Southwest. 15-hour dance party fundraiser, 9 a.m. Saturday at 105 North Main. Who Let the Dogs Out, 5K, 6 p.m. Saturday at Torchy's Tacos, 306 East 5th in Odessa. For more information, go to fixwesttexas.org. Blessing of the Animals, 10:30 a.m. Sunday at the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity. C4K Concert and Dinner, 5:30 p.m. October 7th at La Hacienda Event Center. San Miguel Family Festival, October 9th and 10th, 1100 Camp Street. Pink in the Park, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. October 16th at Centennial Park. Entertainment Calendar. Yan Shen in Concert, 7:30 p.m. Saturday at the Wagner and Brown Auditorium at Midland College. Taylor Redd, 7:30 p.m. October 5th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Karen Leon El Moro, Los Vendavales, Los Tu de la Isi Tomas Bayardo, October 8th at 8 p.m. at the La Hacienda Event Center. Petty Breakers, Tom Petty Tribute, 6 p.m. October 15th at the Ector Theater in Odessa. JJ, El Gigante de la Comedia, October 15th, 8 p.m. at La Hacienda Event Center. Felipe Esparza, 9 p.m. October 16th at Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. 18th Annual Roar with Laughter Hilarity Review Fundraiser, 7:30 p.m. October 16th. The Midland West Rotary Club's Fall Fest Fundraiser, 6 p.m. October 16th at Green Tree Country Club. For more information, please visit http://midlandwestrotary.com. Cinema Under the Stars, Hocus Pocus, 7:30 p.m. October 20th at Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Radney Foster, 6:30 p.m. October 28th at Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. An Evening with David Sedaris, 7 p.m. October 28th at the Ector Theater in Odessa. 432 Fright Night, 6 p.m. October 30th at the Ector Theater. Regular meetings and activities. Healing Yoga for People Recuperating from Cancer, 5:30 p.m. Monday at the Yoga Sanctuary, 4202 Dawn Circle. Party on the Patio, 7 to 11 p.m. Fridays at Ranchland Hills Golf Club. Downtown Farmers Markets, 8 a.m. to noon Saturday at the Museum of the Southwest. Palette Club Painting, 9 a.m. to noon Tuesdays each week except the second Tuesday of the month at the Palette Club of Midland. Eccentric Brewing Company concocts beer from Texas-only ingredients by J.C. Lewis. Eccentric Brewing Company plans to release the Lone Star Estate, a beer made from Texas-grown malted barley, Texas-grown hops, Texas water, and wild yeast harvested from the Lajitas area. The beer will be released Saturday at the brewery's tap room. As a native Texan, Eccentric Brewmaster Aaron Pockelhofer has desired to create an all-Texas beer that doesn't rely upon ingredients sourced from other parts of the U.S., and a beer that expresses the independent spirit of native Texans. Until recently, a beer made with Texas-only ingredients had not been possible, according to a press release. This changed in the past few years as Texas-grown malted barley has become available from several different farms. Malted barley from Maverick Malting in Wildorado is now widely available and was used for the Lone Star Estate. The availability of Texas-grown hops was also a challenge. The hot climate of Texas makes growing hops difficult, and as a result, there are only three small hop farms in the state. Despite small crop yields and high demand, Pockelhofer secured enough hops from Wild Root Organics in Kingsland. Community yeast cultures in San Antonio supplied native Texas yeast harvested from a prickly pear cactus flower outside of Lajitas. The water used in brewing the beer is from Texas, since Eccentric Brewing is located in Midland. The name Lone Star Estate comes from an estate beverage, one where all ingredients are sourced from one specific property. It is most commonly used in winemaking. The Lone Star Estate beer is a golden, easy-drinking ale with distinctive Belgian-style flavors from the wild yeast at an approachable 5.75% alcohol by volume. The beer will be released Saturday, October 2nd, the 186th anniversary of the Battle of Gonzales, the first battle fought for Texas independence. The Come and Take It battle flag flown by Texans at the battle is famously known. Eccentric Brewing Company is open Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday at 1402 Cotton Flat Road. Saturday, the day of the release of the new beer, the brewery will be open from 1 to 9 p.m. The Gatlin Brothers to Play Free Concert by Caitlin Randall. Ector County ISD will hold a free tailgate party before the October 8th Permian and Odessa High football game that will include a performance by the Gatlin Brothers. The country and gospel trio are alumni of ECISD, according to Superintendent Scott Murray. Larry Gatlin was a quarterback at Odessa High. They were a part of our community for many years, have gone on to experience great fame, and will be sharing their talents with us, Murray said during a call with reporters. The Gatlin Brothers will perform during a tailgate party at Ratliff Stadium before the game kicks off at 7 p.m. There will also be food trucks during the tailgate. Attending the tailgate party is free, but community members must have tickets to the football game to attend the concert. The gates for the concert will be open at 4:30 p.m., and the concert will take place outside the stadium. Following the game, there will be a drone show to celebrate ECISD's 100th anniversary.
Opinion from the MRT for Thursday. Opinion Extra. $3.5 trillion proposal comes at a cost by Ray Perriman. The $3.5 trillion or more federal spending proposal now under consideration has some worthy components, but on the whole is concerning. It's too large and expensive, and funding it would cause negative dynamic responses through the economy. Here's a brief overview. The U.S. already has a very large debt burden due to decades of enormous deficits due to poorly conceived fiscal policy, unfunded and inefficient spending programs, and tax cuts based on faulty projections. Both major parties are culpable. This situation was made worse by extensive deficit spending over the past 18 months associated with COVID-19, most of these outlays were appropriate and needed to keep families, small businesses, and key sectors viable during a genuine emergency situation, but they nonetheless limit flexibility going forward. Interest expense is becoming an increasing percentage of the federal budget, and higher rates are likely down the road. Any conversation about new programs must be viewed within this framework. To put it simply, the proposed new programs are much too large to undertake at this time. There are parts of these initiatives that represent genuine governmental objectives and pressing priorities that have been neglected for too long. They should be discussed, enacted, and prudently funded. The basic infrastructure bill falls into this category, as do some pieces of the larger package. Others are either well-intentioned but misguided efforts to address global climate concerns, more on that later, or represent a level of social engineering that is inconsistent with the way market-based economies are designed to function. Decades of experience teach us that simply throwing federal dollars at something doesn't often lead to optimal outcomes, and that better results may be and have been achieved through properly structured incentives and private initiatives. While some politicians have been saying that this massive program won't cost anything, that's simply not correct. Such statements assume that policy actions to increase revenues, namely increasing taxes, another topic that I will address soon, will be enough to pay for the new spending. Any scoring that shows these large, all-encompassing packages as self-funding are based on accounting tricks and a limited time horizon that does not fully capture all dynamic effects which play out over a longer period. The large social spending packages of the past were debated and implemented over periods of years, if not decades. Sweeping change was only enacted after thoughtful consideration of overall priorities and development of a meaningful, if not unanimous, consensus, which is not the case at present. While there is clearly room for and need for improvement in some areas, we are simply not in a fiscal position to implement trillions in new programs in one fell swoop. Stay safe. M. Ray Perriman is President and Chief Executive Officer of the Perriman Group.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, September 30th. Betty Jean Simmons, age 90, passed away on September 25th at Faith Presbyterian Hospice in Dallas, Texas. She was born on December 30th, 1930, to O.L. Happ and S.E. Emily Forrest Stoltz. Betty was a lifelong resident of Midland, Texas. She graduated from Midland High School in 1948. Betty was married to Orrin Simmons, and they had one son, Dale Simmons. She was preceded in death by her parents, her husband, and one of her sisters, Irene Stoltz Rotan. Those left to cherish Betty's memories are her son, Dale Simmons of Midland, her sister, Freddie Stoltz Lowe, and her husband, Norman of Irving, Texas, and several nieces and nephews. Graveside services will be at the Fairview Cemetery in Midland. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that donations be made to the Faith Presbyterian Hospice in Dallas, 12477 Merritt Drive in Dallas, Texas, 75251. Attention, Beth Ginowitz. The family wishes to extend their gratitude to the staff of Faith Presbyterian Hospice. Eliseo Che Laris Robledo was received with open arms by our Heavenly Father, and once again, as when he was born, into the arms of his parents. Jesus Kirike Robledo and Tomasa Laris Robledo on November 17, 2020, after his toughest battle with COVID. Eliseo was born on November 20, 1962. He was raised in Midland, Texas, along with his surviving siblings, Cecilia Robledo, Jesus Robledo Jr., Irma Madrid, Sammy Robledo, Alicia Luna, Israel Robledo, and Marta Robledo. Che is preceded in death by his parents, Jesus and Tomasa Robledo, maternal grandparents, Juanita Rodriguez and Raimundo Lares, paternal grandparents, Jose and Francisca Robledo, a nephew, William Anthony Robledo, and most recently his brother and sister-in-law, Freddy and Lely Robledo. Rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Thursday, September 30th, at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church and Shrine. Mass of Christian burial will be held on Friday, October 1st, at 2 p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church and Shrine. Interment will follow at Fairview Cemetery. Kyle Richard Large, age 65, of Fort Worth, Texas, passed away September 25th after a hard fight with COVID at Missouri Baptist Hospital in Sullivan, Missouri. The family will receive friends on Friday, October 1st, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Grace Lutheran Church Fellowship Hall in Midland. A celebration of his life will be held Saturday, October 2nd, at 2 p.m. at Grace Lutheran Church. Kyle was born on January 29, 1956, to Kenneth and Hazel in Big Spring, Texas. The oldest of four children, Kyle took his responsibility as big brother very seriously. Kyle is survived by his wife, Christina Large of Fort Worth, mother, Hazel Burgess of Midland, brothers, Kevin Large of Caleron, Wales, Cody Large, Drew Large, and Doug Ross, all of Midland. He is also survived by many cousins, second cousins, and their families. Kyle is preceded in death by his father, Kenneth Large, stepmother, Barbara Large, and sisters, Kimberly Carnes and Evelyn Doss. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made to the Professional Firefighters Association of Midland, Texas Benevolence Fund, or checks mailed to 105 North G Street, Midland, Texas, 79701. Guided by her love and deep religious faith, Leona Marshall, age 94, of Midland, was matriarch to her family. She died peacefully of natural causes in her home on September 26. Leona's life began on July 23, 1927, in Burlington, Iowa. Her father, Paul, was a Baptist minister, and her mother, Laura, was a teacher. In February 2008, Leona moved to Manor Park in Midland to be closer to her daughter and son-in-law. During that time, she made new friends, had a new home built, and enjoyed creating a new life and memories centered around the First Baptist Church of Midland. Leona is survived by her son, David McNeese, of Santee, California, and daughter, Lynette Amador, of Midland. Leona's ashes will be scattered at sea off Point Loma in San Diego, California. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorial donations be given to the First Baptist Church of Midland or Midland Hospice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com.
Hi, I'm Kim. I'm reading the Odessa American. Today is Thursday, September 30th, 2021. City donates downtown property to OC. The Odessa City Council on Tuesday voted unanimously to donate a plot of downtown land to Odessa College that both sides say will play a pivotal role in revitalizing downtown. OC President Gregory Williams said the property will allow the school to begin working on a $1.5 million Phase 1 plan to create more green space and landscaping downtown and construct a stage area for community concerts and events. The property council donated to the college is the former site of the Odessa American located at 4th Street and Jackson. This will be a very exciting project if you allow us to partner with you, Williams told council prior to their vote. Eventually, we'll add an educational component that will help people learn how to start and set up a business downtown. We're excited to get going. Although council approved the land transaction on Tuesday, City Manager Michael Marrero noted that there are still several details to be worked out before the agreement becomes official. For example, the land to be donated must first pass an environmental review, he said. According to the contract agreement between the city and OC, the college's Phase 1 plans also include construction of a community garden, food truck parking, splash pad areas, a pet area, outdoor seating, and free Wi-Fi. Once Odessa College receives the property, the school could have the project's first phase up in 12 to 18 months, Williams had previously told council. The proposed second phase would include construction of a new three-story school building that would house the college's entrepreneurial classes. Williams said the new facility would also house a business incubator where students could launch new businesses. The school has set no timetable for the second phase, although Williams noted Tuesday that the college is still in the process of securing funds for the second part of the project. Councilwoman Mary Willis and Mayor Javier Jovan lauded the college's efforts and praised Marrero and Williams for working together to secure the project. We're excited about this plan, Jovan said. We're partnering with confidence. Council on Tuesday also voted to support a code amendment that would allow individuals and companies whose properties are in the county to petition for annexation so that they can receive such city services as water and sewer, police, trash, and road management. A second vote is legally required to adopt the amendment and will be scheduled for the council's October 12th meeting, Jovan said. Only owners of property located in an Ector County Assistance District would be able to apply for annexation, City Planning Director Randy Brindley said. Under the proposed amendment change, a property owner will first be required to submit an application to the county requesting the annexation. That decision would be made by the Commissioner's Court. Ector County Judge Debbie Hayes earlier this week said the county is not concerned about city's annexation plans and that she believes it will have minimal effects on the county's future revenue. Hayes said county officials have long been aware that the city has had eyes on certain county properties that it wanted to annex so that it could capture more sales tax dollars. The county would still collect property taxes from annexed properties. It doesn't bother us, Hayes said. It doesn't bother us at all. We will not be going to lose any money because of it. Council voted unanimously to approve a 2.5% rate hike for water, sewer, and sanitation. The rate increases will take effect in October. The average Odessa household will see a 0.52 cent increase in their monthly solid waste bills. Assistant City Manager of Administrative Affairs, Cindy Muncy, has previously explained, residents who live in apartments or mobile homes will see a 0.27 cent increase. Small businesses will see a $2 per month increase. The average household will see their sewer rates increase by 0.53 cents per month, and residents who use 2,000 gallons or less per month will see their bills go up by 0.32 cents per month, Muncy said. The water users will also see a 2.5% increase in their bills, with users of 5,000 gallons per month seeing their bills go up by $1.92, and rates for residents who use 2,000 gallons will increase by $1.32. Qualifying senior citizens 65 years or older will pay $1 per 2,000 gallons. The rate increases will not be used to repay a $95 million certificate of obligation that Council in August approved to pay for the rehabilitation of the city's water treatment plant, Muncie has said. The rate increases are needed to cover inflation, equipment cost, and an increase in employee salaries, Muncie said. Panel to talk biology of COVID. The biology of COVID-19 will be discussed during a seminar set for 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday at the Cooper Lecture Hall of the Science and Technology Building of the University of Texas Permian Basin. The Biomedical Research Center will be hosting a seminar on the biology of viruses, variants, and therapies by two of its leading biomedical researchers. This discussion will focus on the biology of COVID, not the guidelines and precautions such as masks, distance, and sanitation. All are welcome to this free event on the UTPB Odessa campus. Presenters will be Mei Xin Sui, PhD, co-director of the UTPB Biomedical Research Center, and professor of biology, Shui Min Shu, PhD, director of the UTPB Biomedical Research Center, professor of biology, and the Dr. John Dorian Endowed Professorship of Neurobiology. What we're trying to do is give a science and molecular biology perspective on COVID. Often there's kind of a general medicine health pathway. This is more like the science and biology behind the virus. Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, Scott McKay, said, one of the things they will talk about is why some people are more vulnerable to the virus than others, McKay added. As a research scientist trained in cardiovascular biology, blood coagulation disorder, arteriothrombosis, and lipid metabolic disorder, Shuai's research has been continually funded by the NIH to study signaling pathways leading to blood coagulation, coagulopathy, and injury of the carotid arteries and femoral arteries. Information from the university said, her lab has extensive expertise studying a regulation of the expression and surface activity of the blood coagulation initiators protein tissue factor. The Shui Research Lab is also interested in studying molecular mechanisms of vascular wall injury, endothelial injury, and endotheliopathy, endothelial cell integrity, and barrier function, and vascular leak. Another active research area in this lab is determining the role of the bioactive lipid lysophosphatidic acid, LPA, and its receptor-mediated intracellular pathways in vascular diseases. Xu's research has been funded by NIH, American Health Assistance Foundation, and Alzheimer's Association. Over many years of study, the molecular mechanisms of neurodegenerative diseases, including Alzheimer's disease, AD, and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS. Recent studies have reviewed the traumatic brain injury, TBI, and post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, are signature injuries of the wars of Iraq and Afghanistan and have been linked to an increased risk of AD and ALS, the information said. Dr. Xu's lab has extensive experience and expertise using cutting-edge technology to determine the molecules, the risk factors, and the signaling pathways that are involved in neurodegeneration. Specifically, their recent study has identified a mitochondrial apoptotic molecule. COVID-19 news by the numbers, COVID in the basin. Ector County, 24,726 total cases, 487 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 13 students, 4 staff. Midland County, 26,439 total cases, 333 deaths. Texas, 4,043,512 total cases, 64,456 deaths. U.S. cases, 43,169,823 total confirmed and 691,517 deaths. Found out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. MCH COVID numbers. Medical Center Hospital issued its COVID inpatient numbers as of 9 a.m. Wednesday. 64 total COVID patients in-house. Med-surg non-critical, 37 COVID patients. 39 unvaccinated, 4 vaccinated, 1 unknown, includes 1 on pediatrics. Critical care, 27 COVID patients, 19 on ventilators. 17 unvaccinated, 7 vaccinated, 3 unknown. Of the 18 COVID patients on ventilator, 5 are vaccinated, 12 are unvaccinated, 1 unknown. Age ranges of COVID patients 15 through 84 years old. Patients from outside Ector County include 1 from Crane, 3 from Fort Stockton, 1 from Gardendale, 3 from Midland, 1 from Presidio, 1 from Rankin. The rest are Odessa Ector County. Quick hits, virtual seminar. Healthy City has scheduled a Food is Medicine virtual seminar Friday and Saturday. Speakers will be Cyrus Kambata, Ph.D., Michael Klaper, M.D., William Lee, M.D., Jim Loomis, M.D., Reshma Shah, M.D., Saray Stancic, M.D., and Scott Stahl, M.D. Topics will range from strength and conditioning, cancer, autoimmune disease, pediatric nutrition, sleep and stress, diabetes, and gut health. The cost of the seminar is $40. Seminar attendees will have access to a replay function for any of the sessions missed during the conference. Medical professionals can apply for continuing education units. To register, visit www.rhealthycity.com/FIM. National Night Out. The Odessa Police Department would like to remind the public to sign up for this year's National Night Out, which is scheduled from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday. The deadline to sign up is 5 p.m. Friday. Email the completed registration form to mhamilton@odessa-tx.gov or mail it to 205 North Grant, Odessa, Texas, 79761. You can also drop it off anytime at the OPD front desk. National Night Out is designed to heighten crime and drug prevention awareness, generate support for and participate in local anti-crime partnerships, and send a message to criminals, letting them know that neighborhoods are organized and fighting back. In 2008, the National Association of Town Watch, NATW, officially agreed to have a National Night Out for Texas on the first Tuesday of October instead of the traditional first week of August. Visit tinyurl.com/BVY27WZK. Haunted Car Wash. Crazy Clean Car Wash has scheduled a Tunnel of Terror Haunted Car Wash from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. October 8th, 9th, 15th, and 16th, 22nd, 23rd, 29th, 30th, and 31st, and from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., October 23rd, at 2 of its locations. Psycho Clown Circus will take place at 2124 East 8th Street. Zombie Attack will be at 2820 Pembroke Street. Visit tinyurl.com /3NZKBY5E. Trade days. Old Sorehead Trade Days will be scheduled from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. October 9th and from noon to 5 p.m. October 10th, downtown streets in Stanton. There will be more than 600 vendors who will bring woodcrafts, wearable art, hand-poured candles, metal art, antiques, jewelry, collectibles, clothing, food, and more. Visit stantontex.com.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.